So next we have Mr. Brian Ware. Before pursuing a doctorate in behavior and social science and master's in biostatistics at Johns Hopkins, Mr. Ware was an applied researcher for 12 years with the Oregon Health Division in Portland, Oregon. His work includes HIV prevention studies with drug users and with women involved in the correctional system and evaluation of emergency medical services. His current research focuses on the relationship between substance use and sexual behavior, and his title is entitled Alcohol and Sexual Risk Among Women Recently Involved in the Correctional System, Findings from Event-Level Analyses. Mr. Ware.
Thank you, Randy. So I'm presenting findings from some event-level analyses. Today I really want to stress the use of methods, and it's not really a very technical discussion that we're going to have, but I think with other methods we can look a little more closely at how alcohol may be associated with sexual risk behavior. And I'll also present some findings on drug use as well. So there's two main quantitative approaches that people use to look at the association between alcohol and sexual risk behavior. One is global or person-level associations. How much does somebody drink over a period of time or how frequently? And is that associated with risk, a summary risk measure also over a given period of time? Generally, these studies tend to show a significant association. But from these, it's not clear whether alcohol use and sexual risk behavior are going together. So there's been a big push towards event-level studies recently. So this is looking at particular instances of sexual behavior. Is that in conjunction with alcohol use? And if so, is that associated with condom use? Now, there's a couple of problems with this. Most of these studies don't find an association. And for a given study, we don't know if that's because there's no association in this population, or maybe there's a person-level association, and we can't see it because the study does not include person-level measures. The other problem is, generally, there's a real focus on condom use, but alcohol use could also be associated with sexual activity and raise risk that way. So in this study, there's two things that I wanted to do. One was to use multi-level models to look at both person-level alcohol use and day level or event level in the same models. And in fact, I've even included a third measure, which is recent alcohol use. So that's how much use in the last 30 days. The other thing I wanted to do was look at both what predicts unprotected intercourse and then looked separately at what predicts the occurrence of intercourse and what predicts condom use given the occurrence of intercourse. So the nice thing about this approach is we can look at different theories on what is the relationship between alcohol and sexual risk behavior and make predictions about should that be associated with intercourse, should it be associated with condom use, and then what levels, you know, should we see that? Should it be person level, month level, or day level? So the first two, alcohol myopia and alcohol expectancies, really rely on the real or perceived pharmacological effects of alcohol. So that suggests a day level association. And I'm using day level and event level interchangeably here because the data I have is day level. Personality traits. Some people may have a personality that drives both alcohol use and sexual behavior. So that suggests person-level association. Alcohol may also be associated with sex through the co-location in bars, for example. You find alcohol and sex partners in the same place. Same thing for courtship, use of alcohol in courtship. It doesn't suggest anything about condom use, though. And then finally, these sort of contextual issues, social networks or life circumstances, could affect both alcohol use and sexual behavior. So what I want to do now is talk about the study population, the data collection, and the analytic methods, and then we'll talk about results. So these are women recently involved in the correction system, at risk for HIV. This is an intervention study, but I'm just controlling for that in this study. So this is a subset, the analytic sample, and these are not young adults, somewhat older women. Majority are white, but fewer whites than you would expect for Portland, Oregon. And do we have a pointer here? That's okay. On the right side, you can see that the income levels are quite low, high levels of depression, of course, a lot of incarceration, high levels of substance use. Unprotected sex is common, protected less so, and about a quarter of trading sex. So there were four assessments, and each time the woman came in, the interviewer would work with her to try and reconstruct what happened over the last 30 days. So for each day, identifying did she drink, did she use drugs, what type, did she have intercourse, who with, was a condom used, was it sex trade? And then we're going to limit the analytic sample here to women who reported any alcohol use, any intercourse, and completed at least two assessments. So again, we're going to have three different outcomes, and they're all day level. So on a given day, what predicts the occurrence of unprotected intercourse? And we're going to break it down and look at what predicts the occurrence of intercourse. And when intercourse does occur, what predicts condom use? Or rather, the non-use of condoms. Three levels of alcohol use. How many days did she drink per week overall? During the assessment month, how many days of use per week? And this is really centered around the person level use. So this is a different score. It's, is she drinking more or less than she typically does? And then finally, did she drink on a given day? And again, this is a multi-level model. There's random intercepts. There's some other variables that I controlled for. So I want to take a little time on this slide here. So this is the findings from three analyses. This is sex with any partner. So the top third is unprotected intercourse. And the blue is person-level alcohol use. The green is month. Red is day. And these are confidence intervals and odds ratios. And then the values are over on the right as well. So we can see the person-level alcohol use is not quite significant. If a participant is drinking more than usual, that's associated with higher risk at the month level. And then drinking on a given day is associated with intercourse on that, or yes, unprotected intercourse on that day. And in the middle, if we break it down, it looks very similar. It's significant at all three levels of alcohol use. And then if we look at condom use, there's really no association there at all. So alcohol is associated with more unprotected intercourse, but it's not through condom use. And I just want to ask quickly if anybody has any questions in this slide, because there'll be a few more like it if I haven't explained it well. Okay. So now breaking it down. So when we get down, so no condoms on sex days, that's looking at on days when somebody had intercourse, what's associated with not using a condom. The top one is what's associated with having unprotected intercourse versus protected intercourse or no intercourse. Okay. So this is main partners and non-main partners. They're similar, stronger effects for non-main partners. And the one thing is for main partners, for women who drink more in general, they're significantly more likely not to use condoms when they have intercourse. It's just barely significant. And then this is exchange partners, which is really a subset of non-main partners. And here we tend to see even stronger effects. And this is the only place where we see a day-level association between alcohol use and not using a condom when having sex. So the top row now has the findings for all partners. And we can see no associations for condom use, associations at all three levels for intercourse. And if we compare it to what I predicted based on these theories, none of the theories got it right. So one point is focusing on condom use, particularly for this population, is probably a mistake. It's really an alcohol intercourse connection, not an alcohol-condom connection. And then the other thing is, it would really take more than one theory to account for these study findings, and particularly seeing a month-level association between alcohol and intercourse. I think some of these at the bottom that focus more on social contacts may be important. So life events, life circumstances. So quickly, I just want to run through some on drug use as well. So this is 7 separate analyses, and the outcome here is unprotected intercourse with any partner. And we have our alcohol at the top, and this is any drugs is a second, and it's sort of measured the same way alcohol use is. It's very similar, it's a little weaker. If we look at particular types of drugs, the ones that really pop out are heroin. There's no association there. And then amphetamines at the bottom does have a strong association. And then, you know, when we go now to look at intercourse, not just unprotected, but any intercourse, very similar. You can actually see things just, it's a little bit stronger. And then when we go look at condom use, again, no evidence that drug use increases the likelihood somebody's not going to use condoms when they have sex. And if anything, under drugs, we see people who use drugs on more days are actually more likely to use a condom. And that also holds for crack and heroin. So I've stated most of these things already. Alcohol is associated with sexual risk behavior, but it's through increased intercourse, but not through condom use. So it's really through the frequency of sex, not sort of the quality of sex. And similar patterns we saw for drug use, and there was some difference for amphetamines and for heroin. And, you know, one question is this because these drugs are fundamentally different, or is it maybe that the people who use these drugs are different? And, you know, are there different cultures that surround these drugs? And then there are some limitations as well. This is based on recall. It's a 30-day period. And we worked really hard with the participants to try and reconstruct what happened. It would be nice to see the same kind of analyses with, like, a daily diary technique. And we didn't look at how much somebody drank on a given day. So that may also be an important predictor. And also didn't look at long-term effects of alcohol use on sexual behavior. And then finally, the associations are specific to this population. These are women at high risk for HIV, so we can't really see why this population is higher risk than other ones. So, you know, if this study had a broader range of people in it, it may have different findings somewhat. So finally, this study was done in Multnomah County. So I'd like to thank the Health Department and the Oregon Health Division. It was funded by NIDA. The intervention component was based on motivational interviewing. And this is a best evidence intervention. So I put information here if you're interested. And if you have any comments or questions that you don't voice today, I'd love to hear them as well. Thank you.